This is Across the Streams Media Podcast.
Vertle me, we eek, Ben.
That's right. We watched The Bourne Identity this week on The Movie Gap, the podcast that has you scream. Welcome to The Movie Gap. I am your host, Chase Austin, and as always, the assassin who forgets where he is all the time, minus the assassin. He's always late because he never remembers what's going on. It's Bryce Perkins.
Hey, man. Vertle me weak Ben, dude. Vertle me weak Ben.
I was thinking about this. Like, what if, I had, like, I woke up somewhere and I had the same, like, fugue state amnesia. Yeah. And just like, I don't know who I am.
Yeah.
But I have all these skills where I just want to make dick jokes. Like, I walked into this thing and I was like, look at that guy. He looks like a bald penis.
Yeah.
And that guy over there, he also has a nut sack for a chin. Tell me, how do I do this?
And then you find out that, you were just a guy that had a podcast. where we made dick jokes whenever we
tell could. Me how I know what an analytic is.
Yeah. And you just randomly shout, damn it, Bryce. Who is that? Why do I keep saying that name? Yeah, that'd be fun.
Bryce has been dead for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
All right.
We have fun here. Hey, Vertle me week Ben, dude. We got that big Dutch energy at the Movie Gap.
Yeah, we do.
Gappers know.
Now, you know what else is going to be fun?
Yeah, what?
This Memorial Day weekend. Comic Palooza!
Oh!
We're back, baby!
We're in!
And this time it's bigger than ever, because AP Stark, that's right, Apocalyptic Pussy Stark, is going to be here with us. So do not miss it. We will be live. It's 3 days. It's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of that Memorial Day weekend. It's going to be awesome, as it always is. So get your tickets now. Come out, see us. We always love seeing you guys. We'll get some free old stickers. I got some brand new ones. We haven't even opened the package yet.
Still are, in the plastic.
They are holographic, y'all.
Let's go.
A holographic background, but yeah. Be on the lookout for that. Come check us out. It will be definitely worth your while, as well as seeing all the artists and the everything on the floor. That's super fun. And the panels, that's my favorite thing. All the celebrity panels
are great.
And NASA's always got a bunch of really dope ass panels that like are always under attended. It's like, guys, this is real shit. Like,
hell yeah.
Real guys who went into space that are coming here to talk to you. They went into space. They've like walked out in space, and you're not going to listen to what they have to say. Fuck you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. No, we're going to go listen to William Shatner talk about Cooper Petey opals.
Oh, yeah, that's right. God, I forgot about
weird.
That.
It was so weird.
Oh, man, I'm so glad I missed that.
Oh, no, you don't. You wish
oh,
they were there.
Man.
It was wild. But he only went into fake space and, like, kind of space.
Kind of space, yeah.
No, we're talking real astronauts.
Yeah.
It's super dope. But, yeah, there's something there for everybody. It's fun for the whole family. And we will try to make the Movie Gap family-friendly, which I remember last year you got a little...
Yeah, someone gave me the old.
No, it was the move it on.
Yeah,
on.
yeah. Which it always makes for, you know, great atmosphere to shoot the shit on a podcast. But I get it.
Yeah, you didn't even move it on.
So yeah, we'll do our best to keep it clean. No promises, but
we do promise.
Can we?
We promise. We promise.
That is the movie gap promise. Now, is that we make no promises.
We have not gotten any anybody with any guesses, but if you do have a guess as to
what, I was going
to
say, can we reveal it yet?
No, we can't reveal it yet. Maybe next week.
Okay.
I'll tell you what.
What?
May. Our first episode in May.
It's going to be May.
It's going to be May.
Yeah. Okay. Sounds good.
We will reveal it then. All right. So.
Sounds good.
Let's talk The Bourne Identity, Bryce.
Is that what we did this week? Is that the movie we did this week? I forgot.
It's not about forgetting.
See what I did there?
It's not about forgetting.
Yeah, I have this superpower. I woke up and had this superpower where I forget.
Just don't remember anything.
What movie we were even talking about. That's my fucking superpower.
Well, you should go to the, I found this in your leg and it says, check your notes.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. What is this?
All right. So Bryce, you had never seen this film before.
That's correct.
What did you know about it going in?
Well, I knew Matt Damon was in it and I knew it was about, some secret agent stuff and that, he forgets who he is and that, he goes on a journey of, trying to remember of finding himself.
All right.
It's a movie about a man finding himself.
Back of the box.
Yeah.
It's, 1995.
Yeah.
You're walking down the aisles. Of Blockbuster.
Yeah.
Somehow this movie has traveled in time.
Uh-huh.
What does the back of the box say? 1 minute, go.
In the near future, an agent, because it's 1985, an agent named Jason Bourne wakes up having not remembered anything that just happened to him after being found at sea, floating around at sea. He's very confused. There's a lot of questions, very little answers. But what he does find out is that, what he finds out automatically is that he has the ability to whoop anyone's ass. And, he's very good with guns and he doesn't know why. So, we kind of go on that journey together.
All right.
That's it. So that's pretty much it.
12 seconds left. Not bad. Yeah. All right, Bryce. So you actually have your physical notes for this one.
I brought my notes. You want to see them?
No. Don't throw your notes at me.
It's my new thing. I love doing it. It's a movie gap tradition. I'm going to do this live. Live in person.
It's a new thing, but it's a movie gap tradition. Yeah.
It's a new movie gap tradition. I throw my notes at you when I have physical notes. But yeah, as you can hear, this is not a prop. These are very real notes.
I mean, it is a prop in a way. But they are real.
Okay, let's not get into semantics here, okay? We already got enough to talk about with this movie, okay?
All right.
So, come on. This is going to be hard for people to follow.
Yeah.
You know?
If you haven't seen this movie, you better.
Yeah.
You've had 22 years.
Yeah. And, we'll see where these notes take us.
And by the end of it, we'll see if we're going to do more of them.
Yeah. We will.
Good.
All right. Well, my first note is that would be pretty cool to just wake up and know how to whoop anyone's ass.
Yeah.
That'd be a cool fucking,
minus the headaches. I don't want the headaches.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, they don't really get that far into the headaches as much.
Uh-huh.
They mention it a couple of times, but it doesn't ever seem like he's got a headache. But like, man, when I get like those bad headaches, I'm just like, I don't want to go whoop anybody's ass.
You want to do anything.
I don't want to whoop anybody's ass.
Yeah, I know. I'm lucky in that I don't really get afflicted with them too much or very often. But when it does happen, it's never fun.
Yeah, I get sinus headaches. I know my wife gets like bad migraines. Apparently, she's been getting them since she was in kindergarten.
Well, I just don't like getting headaches because it does stop me from whooping everyone's ass. You know,
I know what you mean.
Like, I have to take a break from whooping all this ass all day. You know, and I just don't like that. But anyway, and as far as like these notes go, this will be a little bit of a sort of a journey in and of itself.
I love it.
Because there is some of this stuff I don't remember writing. So let's see how this goes.
Yeah. So I I have seen this movie several times. When I was in college, I hung out with a friend of mine a lot, Thomas Dean.
And
these were like his favorite movies.
Right.
So he like really loved these. And so we watched them a lot.
Okay.
So I haven't seen it probably in at least 15 years.
Okay.
You know, and I just remember like liking them. And I, but like also kind of like, I didn't really remember what's going on. I remember like certain action sequences. I was expecting things to come up that I was like, oh, I guess that's in the second or third one.
Yeah.
there's very specific moments of this one that I knew were coming. And I knew, you know, the outcome and things like that. But like I was very confused on like, or not confused. I had forgotten like the main plot point. I knew that he got found in the water, got the bullets pulled out of his body, and that like all of a sudden the CIA's after him.
Yeah.
And he's got to figure out who he is, you know.
The
plot.
Right.
But or the elevator pitch, if you will. I knew it was based on a book. There was a TV version of this that came out in like 1988. That I saw in the 90s when we used to go on vacation to Colorado. And the condo that we stayed in, that we rented, had the Stars package or whatever, where it had like, you know, Stars Action or Encore Action, Encore Western, Encore this. And one night this was on the Encore Action, and we watched it, but it was the 88 version, the TV version. Okay. And it was a two-part. So by the time I'd seen this movie, I had already seen this movie in the bad TV version of it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So yeah, you know everything about
this. I know everything about this.
You know the backs and the
fronts. I know more than Bourne.
Well, that's not hard in this movie, right? At least. Now, let me ask you this. Of how many of these are there?
There are three in the trilogy.
Uh-huh.
Then they did the Bourne Legacy, which is not, I don't believe it's based on a book or anything. And it was just, it was Hawkeye, I believe.
What was his name?
Jeremy Renner.
Yeah.
Playing a different agent.
Uh-huh.
Right? I think the tagline of that one was like, there was never just one Bourne Legacy.
Yeah.
That did not do well. And then they came out with Jason Bourne, the fourth one. And that's when Damon was back. I've not seen that one.
Okay, wait. Who played the... who was in it when...
Jeremy Renner, I believe.
Oh, okay. I do seem to remember that. Yeah. So wait, which one did you say you think is the best one?
Oh, I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, I really don't remember.
Yeah.
They all kind of just like flow together.
So sure. That,
as much as
that.
I can remember what happens, I know.
Sure,
that,
yeah.
Like the only thing that I thought was in this one that it wasn't is when he beats a guy up with a magazine.
Okay.
But this is the one where he beats a guy up with a pen.
Okay, gotcha. So,
all right. Let's hit those notes.
Yeah. All right. Well, my next note was Matt Damon, or as I call him, Mailer Damon, you know, because, you know, there's that.
Okay.
I wrote that.
I'm reading it.
So yeah, there's that. Oh snap, that's Brian Cox.
Yep.
Now that I wasn't expecting to see.
Yeah, there's a lot of
I haven't seen. The only thing that I've seen him in was Succession. Well, and I guess Super Troopers. Yeah, that's right. I forgot.
An adaptation.
Oh, he was in that?
Yeah, he was the script doctor guy that he kept going to the...
Okay, yeah.
I don't know what that word means.
That's what that's from.
There you go.
So that was a pleasant surprise, and he plays the as we find out, the big bad.
Yeah.
Because the whole time we're thinking that it's Chris Cooper.
Yeah.
You know, and then it turns out even...
you knew Chris Cooper.
I know Chris Cooper. Look, Chris Cooper's great. And it's good to see him in this. You know, he's one of those guys that never really got... Does he get the right amount of credit? I mean, he's just one of those guys. And
an incredible actor.
Yeah.
Great character actor, also in adaptation.
What?
Yeah.
I didn't remember that.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. What did he play in adaptation then?
He was the guy that he goes to visit in the South.
Oh, yeah. Should we just talk about adaptation instead? Is that...
We just play the adaptation episode.
Yeah, yeah.
Three times in a row.
Start that. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Let's see. My next note was Treadstone has got to be the most fictional name ever. Okay, so this is a book, right?
Yeah.
Before it was a
book
movie.
Series, yeah.
A book series. Okay, yeah. That makes sense because Treadstone is just one of those names where, okay, so at first we're thinking that it's a guy,
yeah.
Right? We're not realizing it ends up being the name of
like the project.
Company, yeah, or no, the project.
It's, yeah, it's the code name of it.
Yeah, the code name of it, yeah. So when I heard that, like thinking of it as a name for a guy, I was like, that's the most like author name I've ever heard in my life, like of an author coming up with like a spy name, you know, Treadstone, you know. That's why I wrote that. Let's see. Who says their entire number as their answering machine message? No one. Did that happen?
Yeah. When he calls his phone number and like he's like, you've reached this number.
Yeah.
I mean,
and I think that annoyed me though because it felt like some sneaky exposition or something. Like it was like their way of trying to get him to remember stuff.
But yeah, it wasn't.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, there was a time that you would do that because it's like, oh, if you dialed the wrong number, now you'll know it.
Well, you just say your name.
Yeah. I know, like you that's know? What people eventually do. But yeah, I think even my wife was like, "Why did he just say his whole phone?"
Yeah, number? It was weird. Let's see here. These types of movies rely way too much on liberty of circumstance from the writer.
Okay.
So let's break that down. That's a hot take right there.
Liberty of circumstance. What does that mean? What does that mean to you? Because I'm not familiar with that term.
I really have Jason Bourne myself here because, look, I'm trying to remember, man, because, look, we were supposed to cover this one a few weeks ago.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So I watched it at work maybe about a month ago.
Okay.
And this is when I was writing these notes, okay? So I'm trying to, this is actually turning into, this is getting kind of meta here. This is kind of neat because I'm trying to remember what I mean by this. And this will help, this is my mission. I'm trying to remember my mission, which was breaking down this movie.
Okay.
So let's walk this back.
All right. Now, I'm going to jump in here real quick.
Okay.
Because we're about 20 minutes into the film at this point.
Okay.
And like watching it last night, I started it a little late and I was like, oh, I got to finish this movie and I don't really want to watch it. And by this point, I was in.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, this movie, like, it starts and it just keeps going.
Yeah.
Like, it's, you know... It's not the same as like Crank, but it is. It does have that intensity, and it doesn't like you don't know what's going on as much as he doesn't know what's going on. But there's action almost from the very beginning.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, it starts with that. You know, like the quick cuts of him getting like waking up and having the bullets pulled out, and then it's just like he gets off the boat and goes to the bank, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, shit's going down.
Yeah,
immediately.
Right, you
know?
Right.
So.
Which was nice. Now, who's the director of this movie?
This was Lynn. Is it Lynn? Oh, Doug Liman.
Doug Liman, right. And didn't he do like some Mission Impossible or something like that?
He's done several things. His latest thing is actually the, what do you call it? The remake of Roadhouse, which I watched.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
And it was fucking good.
Wait, you liked it?
I fucking liked it.
Get out of here.
I really did.
I didn't watch it.
It's
I haven't
not
seen
as good,
it, of course.
It's not as good as the original. The original
well, that perfect. Goes without saying,
but
of course.
But it's like Jake Gyllenhaal, fucking amazing.
I did
like,
hear that so Jake good. Gyllenhaal was a great Swayze replacement, you know?
Yeah.
Reboot recast.
Yeah.
Which, did it, we
which
come?
Was not.
Ooh, I wonder if we pulled that
no,
for
we
our
did
reboot
not,
recast.
Not at all. I mean, I would not have ever
yeah, I know.
That. And,
I know.
But he was good. Now, we did cover Edge of Tomorrow, Live, Die, Repeat.
Okay,
that's
yeah.
That's the one that we've done there. He did Jumper and Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Oh, okay.
He directed some episodes of The O.C.
So the...
Swingers, Go.
Wait, he directed Swingers? I thought Favreau directed Swingers.
He wrote it. He directed Swingers.
Interesting.
He directed Go... which is also a lot of fun for like the 90s. That's it. I mean, he's directed some other stuff, but not nothing that you would.
So one of my main, the reason I ask is one of my really only issue with this movie, I will say. So I'm not going to, I'll go ahead and give it to you right now. I'm not going to totally roast it, but I did have issues with it, right? Okay. Look, it's an action film, which we kind of know. I know it has the spy element to it, which does make it at least a little more interesting to me. But at the same time, I do tend to get a little like, you know,
bored
by action movies because it's like, I already know he's going to make it out okay, so why am I even watching this? So it's like that, right? So I'm already kind of watching it with glazed eyes, if you know what I'm saying. But also stylistically, it has that that early 2000s, like it's a little choppy.
So I think that the music is awful and very early 2000s. Yeah,
dude.
Matrixy sort of like bullshit.
Yeah.
But I think it's shot so well and it's all real. I think it's
shot great.
And it's all real stunts.
But it also feels like the first Mission Impossible too, where it's like it has a lot of the... It is a little bit better than that.
Yeah, it's got way more action.
But it has that feel to it.
Yeah, no, it definitely does.
Which kind of turned me off, I'm not going to lie.
What is it, like 5 years after Mission Impossible?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. So I think what I meant by that, by this hot take that I have surprised us both with here, these types of movies rely way too much on liberty of circumstance from the writer. I think what I meant was, like, it's just, like, it only works because the writer can literally make anything.
Yeah, but isn't that the case with every movie?
I don't know, but when the plot relies so much on it, I think relies so much on that fact.
Okay.
Like, it's, what's the word? I guess, what do we call it?
Suspension of disbelief.
It's hard for me to do with these ones.
Okay.
It was hard for me to do a little bit because it's just kind of like, okay, I get it. Like, he doesn't remember anything, but then all of this stuff happens to happen. Like, that's what I'm talking about. It's a little bit like,
well, but you know, it's just
it's
like
hard for me to suspend the disbelief.
But you really have to go into every movie in a way, the way that you know, would approach an improv scene, right?
Sure.
Like, you just have to accept, like, when they set something out, uh-huh, and they say, this is the world, this is what happened. You just have to say, okay,
no, you're just saying that because you're allowed to. This is not the world. The world is actually what I'm saying.
This is
how we do real improv. Okay. Yeah.
No, that's wrong.
Just kidding.
See, when a movie, no, baby,
that's my improv philosophy.
When a movie sets up something and then, crosses it, you know, and negates its own thing. That's where I get upset. But when it's like, this is the thing, then, like, you know, it's not about like, oh, well, in a real world, you can't have amnesia like that or whatever, right? It's like, well, who knows? Maybe you can. In this world, you do.
Look, when I'm doing improv, I sit on the wall in the sides until the very end of the scene. Then I come out and I go, no, that's only funny because you said that. That's the only reason it's funny. And I look at the audience, I break the fourth wall, and I look at them, and I go, that's all.
You're like, guys, these are just people on stage.
Yeah, it's just people on stage. It's not real.
They're not touching anything. They're just pantomiming.
It's not real. He's not holding a cup. There's no urine in that cup.
There's no cup.
He just said there was urine in it. That's all. It's not real. That's what I do. And people fucking love it, I'm telling you. You can come see me at Coronation Theater on any given Saturday. Anyway, speaking of which, I actually did a show with Scott White last night.
Oh,
fun. Fan favorite.
Yeah.
He was our guest speaker for our, what do you call that?
Monologue?
Monologue, whatever style that is in long form.
Yeah.
I forget the name of it.
Is that
Armando?
Or Armando, yeah.
I think it's Armando. Yeah. Anyway, it's ASCAT, basically.
Yeah.
Right? ASCAT is the monologue in there? Okay, anyway. So yeah, come to Coronation Theater and check that out. But anyway, let's move on. I think that's what I meant by that. But I know that also falls on me for not suspending the disbelief, too. So it's fine. Okay, let's see. Love me a gratuitous nut shot. Did he get punched in the nuts, or he punched someone in the nuts?
He punched somebody in the nuts, yeah.
Like, real hard, right? Yeah. I liked that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he hit the cop with his own nightstick right in the nuts. Like when he was.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And he's just like, oh shit. And he just like has the gun in his hand.
Oh,
like,
yeah. Yeah. That's right, dude. Yeah. See, yeah.
The thing about the action and the fights.
Well, I think that goes into my next note too, real quick. I say, yo, he got that kung fu grip too, though. That was my note.
Okay.
I guess maybe with the, you know,
because he grabbed onto the nightstick.
Yeah. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but, yeah, you know, I just think that it's a, you sort of see it all, but you're, it's shot in such a way that you are more focused on, like, the camera and the framing is more focused on Matt Damon's face.
Just like Baylor Damon.
Yeah. Baylor Damon, right. Baylor Damon, Bourne's face, like, uh-huh, just like like going into this, like he snaps into this robot mode, and then all of a sudden he's done, and he almost comes back to, and he's like, holy shit.
Yeah.
You know, like, and it does that quite a bit.
Yeah.
Less and less as he's starting to learn more, yeah. even though he's not really getting the memories back.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's starting to understand, especially once he finds out, like, he's an assassin and everything. Uh-huh. Which, like, how do you not know that? Like,
right.
immediately.
Yeah. Well, but, you know. But yeah, sure. Yeah.
But, yeah, I just think that, it's a really neat style. Uh-huh. And I think it's very effective in this film. So, but yeah, let's keep going.
Yeah, I mean, and I don't necessarily disagree with that.
Yeah, it's just action's not, like you said.
It's not my favorite. Oh shit, that's Uncle Billy. That's my next.
Yes, Walton Goggins, Baby Billy.
Walter Goggins.
Walton.
Walton Goggins, really?
Walton.
Oh
Goggins,
shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, Baby Billy. How about that? And you know, playing such a small and serious role, it's like,
yeah.
Oh yeah, you forget these guys have been at it for a while. You just never knew who they were, yeah, so they were always just that guy in the background, you know. Okay, my next note. You're gonna have to really help me out here. I wrote Clive
Owen.
Clive Owen is in
yeah,
it.
Yeah, the professor. Another small part.
I know. Weird, though, because he was kind of a big name already by this point, wasn't he? Well, I guess Children of Men was 06.
Yeah. I mean, he was, you know, bigger in, like, British theater and stuff. That's where
he sure, yeah. So, yeah, he was playing one of the other assassins in the Treadstone, yeah. in the whole Treadstone thing, right?
Yeah, he's the one who gives him the name Treadstone.
Oh, really?
He's like, you know, it's Treadstone, or something about Treadstone or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And then he's like, what? And he goes, they take it from you.
Yeah, yeah.
And he dies.
Yeah, right. That's right. Yeah. Yeah, that was a good line. So neat to see him in there. A little pleasant surprise, I would say. Okay, which takes me to, speaking of small parts, takes me to my next note here.
Oh, yeah, this was basically Clive Owen's first, like, American film. The only thing that I can think of that would have come out near then, that but it was a British film, Godsford Park, which was 2001.
Yeah,
that was.
Well, let me ask
everything
you this:
else is like British.
If he wasn't already famous, then how come I knew who he was when I saw it? Huh? Yeah, that's right.
Because you're just very.
Yeah, answer me that.
You watch a lot of BBC America.
Of course, of course. But that does lead me to my next note here. Wait, why is Julia Stiles playing some rando bit part? Which she kind of was, yeah. But she was a big name too. I mean, where I thought at the time.
Well, she's got more to do in the sequels.
More on Julia Stiles later. I do remember that because I got some notes about that one there. Okay, here we go. And I touched on this a little bit earlier. I don't really like the look of this movie. Not a fan of this whole Y2K action/mystery aesthetic.
Very blue.
This looks like dishwater to me.
Okay.
Huh? How about that?
I feel you're talking more color than than anything. But like when I say dishwater,
that blue tint,
it's just every. I can't tell what's going on. This I could tell what's going on at all times.
Well, sure.
It wasn't just like.
But everything's under this blue hue.
But yeah, it does have a blue hue. They definitely it's still shot on film at this point, but. They definitely are starting to play a lot
with the filters.
I
don't like
that. Yeah.
I don't like that aesthetic. That also takes me out of it where I'm just like, ah, come on. Why is everything got to be blue? You know?
Yeah, it gives you that
can we
color
just have
correction.
Some sunshine or something, you know?
Yeah.
Is it a cloudy day every day in this universe? I don't like it.
I mean, yeah, it was pretty cloudy, but.
So that, you know, so that's another hot take there. Okay, we'll move on then, I guess. Dude, the Foley work during this fight scene is going crazy, LMAO. So, apparently there was a fight scene where the Foley people were working overtime, baby. And I
cracks and hits.
Listen, I appreciate me some good Foley work, man.
Yeah.
And look, this movie was a glutton for Foley work, right? With all the fucking hits and the explosions and stuff. But man, the fucking... who am I? I don't know who I am. You know, like that's going on through the whole fucking movie.
I love the bone cracking. Because
how you like them apples? Who am I? You know, how do I know what that means? It's going on the whole fucking movie. That's I basically just, if you haven't seen the movie, I basically just showed you what it was.
Yeah.
That's basically it.
Well, but there's more bone cracking.
Oh yeah.
Like bone cracking really sells
nutshots.
Bone cracking really sells any sort of kick to a leg or bend of an arm.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where it's like, oh well, that was just his elbow. Yeah. No, he broke his fucking arm. Yeah. Did you hear that crack? Yeah. They just snapping celery.
I don't remember anything. There was like that. That's pretty much what was happening the whole time. Yeah, and then maybe the occasional,
not a lot of gunplay.
Yeah.
He's more of a hand to hand guy,
you know. And he fucking whoops ass. I will say
he keeps throwing away guns.
Hey, look, Bourne's a badass too. He whoops ass. And correctly cast. I think Matt Damon does a great job.
Well, I always think of...
Or Mailer, as I call him.
The two things I think of with Matt Damon is Team America, Matt Damon.
Of course.
And then also Paul Rudd in 4-Year-Old Virgin when he's watching this movie.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, oh yeah, don't tell what's-her-name. We watch these R-rated movies or whatever. He's watching Bourne. And he goes... You know, I always thought Damon was a bit of a Streisand, but he's kicking ass in this movie.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, and he does. Yeah, yeah, he does whoop ass in it. I mean, we'll get into it later, but I do look forward to doing the sequels because I do hear that they are a little bit better.
Yeah, I mean, you get... There's
but it's different directors, too,
yes,
right?
Yes, it is. Yeah. Yeah.
So, okay. Let's see. Nice to get a good car chase in.
Yeah. I mean, I know you care about it, but it's a well-done one.
Car chases I don't mind as much.
Okay.
They're exciting.
Yeah.
They're fun. And it's always fun to see cars go fast.
You don't like the Fast and Furious.
Chase.
It's
not the car stuff that's the problem with that movie. Those movies. You got to understand.
That's what the movies are. It's not car racing, I'll tell you that.
Dude,
crashes and chases.
The acting, it's everyone acting like they're the coolest person on screen. It's the people literally writing into their contracts that they're not allowed to lose on screen. Come on,
love it.
All right, fine. Maybe I'll get
the
into
meta
it.
The meta game with all the titles? Come on.
Maybe if I can that is interesting. But maybe I can get at it from a different perspective here, and if I view it like the professional wrestling of movies,
yes, yeah,
then maybe I can have fun with it, but we'll see. Anyway, didn't mind a good car chase there, but this but my next note brings me into everyone's new favorite segment that we'll get into here real quick, and that is, all right, everybody, welcome to the Movie Gap Presents. Well, you're shaking your head at me, Chase.
I already know what your thing is, and I got a better one.
You don't know what it is. Trust me.
All right.
Well, we'll see. But this is the Movie Gap Presents. What's the Porn Name? All right. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Movie Gap Presents. What's the Porn Name? This is where I give alternate porn titles for the movie we're covering. This week is The Bourne Identity. And the porn name I have, Chase says he's got a better one. The one I have is called The Porn I Went to See. Is that what you thought it was going to be?
No.
Yeah, exactly.
I definitely thought it was going to be. But I was going to say The Porn in Dim Titties.
I mean, that works too. Hey, I'll allow it. All right, everybody, that's been the Movie Gap Presents. What's the Porn Name? It's good. Good app.
Good.
Yeah, that was a good segment. All right. So, I came up with The Porn I Went to See. What did you think I was going to say?
I just thought you were going to say The Porn Identity.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. Come on. I thought of it.
Yeah.
Come on.
You're a professional.
Give me some credit.
I should know.
Did I not just outline my fucking impeccable improv technique earlier? Yeah, and you didn't
It's not improv if you wrote it ahead of time, but yeah.
Whatever, dude. So anyway, let's see. Don't tell me that. I pre-write everything I say before I go on stage. Just check me out at Coronation Theater.
You come out on stage, you tell everybody that it's shit, and then you just do a 45-minute stand-up routine.
That sucks. You forgot that part.
Yeah.
Okay.
Your 45 minutes is just you listing off fake porn titles that you've written down.
Hell yeah. Okay. All right. Next note here. Let's play. Okay. Here we go. Back to Julia Stiles. Let's play a game called Can Julia Stiles Show Less Emotion? And of course, the answer is no, because her maximum seems to be the bare minimum.
Yeah. Well, I mean, she's also like c- computer. Like, she's basically a glorified secretary in this movie.
I know, dude. It's disappointing because, you know, she's got a bigger...
You know, the books had already been written, so they knew. She's
great. Yeah, I know, because she's great. And so it's just like, you know, I just was like, what is going on? I was so confused by her role in this movie. It was, and it looked like she was phoning it in. Maybe she was, to her credit. And if she was, more respect to her, because I would get paid to phone it in,
she
too.
Was phoning it in because she was on the phone most
she
of
was
the,
literally fucking phoning it was. In. Very nice, Chase. Very nice. Let's see. Okay, my next note I'm going to need your help with. Didn't do it because of some kids.
He didn't kill... Wambasi.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right. Right. So,
and then he got shot by one of Wombasi's guys jumping off the boat. Yeah.
Right. So then that's when we find out that... he had a, what do you call that? Crisis of conscience?
Yeah, crisis of conscience, yeah.
Which is good, which means we're rooting for a good guy.
Well, yeah, and like they hint at that a little bit because like when he sees Marie's brother's kids, immediately he's like kind of like freaking out a little bit, you know? And
so right.
Yeah, and he's like, you know, almost like flashing and it's one of those things of like, I don't want to put these kids in danger. But it's also like there's something deeper.
There's a trigger there.
Yeah. And then we see it, you know, later on.
Subconscious.
Once he learns the truth. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Let's see. Oh, how dumb was that shot of him shooting the guy while he was falling?
Oh, are you kidding me? That's so dope.
I didn't really like it.
Straight from the book. Because it's also in the TV version. It doesn't look as cool.
Okay.
He rides that guy's body down and shoots the guy.
Yeah.
And then I love it. I think that's so cool.
I mean, it is a cool way to like get the escape out of the tight place. Like that's what the situation was, right? It was one of those, like, how's he going to get out of this? But I guess it was something, the way that it was just the way it looked, maybe just seemed cheesy. But then again, I didn't see it when it first came out. I'm sure when it first came out, I probably would have been like, whoa, cool. But maybe it doesn't hold up.
Well, you know,
if I'm saying this about it, clearly I didn't think it held up.
The Raid and Crank and all these other things that like take it to the next level. That was a very Crank move.
Yeah.
But it's also, you know, like, I don't know.
But they were getting too stuck in the realism of it, and maybe it just didn't play. Apparently, I didn't think it played very well. But still a cool maneuver, certainly. But that was that way. Have you read the book?
No, but I know that's from the book because of the...
Wow, was that like a big scene, like a big part of like, oh man, you got to go see this movie. He shoots a guy while he's falling down. Was that a big part of it?
May have been in the trailer even. That's the big moment of the movie. So I don't know why it would be in the trailer, but but yeah, that's that. And the pin, killing the guy with the pin, is like the thing from this movie. The first one.
Yeah, okay, that's what I was going to say. Yeah, and then, of course, like, John Wick does that with the pencil or whatever. Yeah. And becomes famous for that. Okay, so at the end, this is my last note here. At the end, when they're on the island and they, like, get out, or he gets out and he finds her on the island or whatever, there is a... they put in some Foley of the classic flipper sound.
Yeah.
Did you notice that?
Yeah.
Just to set the scene. Yeah. And I was like, dude, what the fuck? It took me so aback. I was like, why did they didn't need to do that at all. And it was so like stuck out. It felt like a flipper Wilhelm scream, you know?
Especially if you're listening on your headphones, like you hear it.
Oh yeah, dude. Yeah. And it was just kind of, it was so like a,
in
yeah.
the background.
Hey, there's dolphins here, by the way, you know? Yeah. So, but anyway, so these are the things I think about when I watch movies. Yeah, that's the end of my notes there, and I have a rating. But anything else you want to say about it? Look, I will say that I did not hate it.
Okay, I mean, if you're willing to watch the other ones, obviously you're into it a little bit.
Yeah, I am willing to watch the other ones. I'm willing to see.
Yeah, it's a Robert Ludlum novel, and this is the kind of thing he writes.
Yeah.
I think it's a pretty good movie. It's meant to be able to be standalone, and then they were like, well, if it works, then we can do the whole trilogy. So by the time they do the second one, they know they're going to do the third.
Sure.
You know, but like, this one definitely wraps up in a way where it's like, well, if we don't do another one, it's good. But you know, there is that like sort of what now would have been a post-credit sequence almost would have been the Brian Cox in front of the
people,
like
in front of
the hearing. Yeah, it's wiped out. Now let's talk about a Blackfriars.
Yeah.
And then like it just like, you know, drones out, but like that would have been, it would have been like he gets away and it's all over, right?
Yeah.
And then it would have been like after the mid credits, and then it's that, and you're like, oh, what's Blackfriars? But this, they just put it in there.
Yeah.
And it works a little better. It's almost like a movie should end.
Yeah.
If you're gonna have the fucking shit in there, put it in there.
Yeah, exactly.
Drives me crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, thank God that they've stopped doing that as much, I think. But also, thank God that no one gives a fuck about the MCU anymore, and we don't have to fucking put up with that shit anymore.
Although, are you watching X-Men 97?
Fuck no.
Oh, it's so good.
So good. What, isn't it just the X-Men cartoons from the 90s?
No, it's a new season of that.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Yeah. So they have the old X-Men on there, and so this one picks up basically at the end. It's as though they made a season 6.
But
it's all the same animation style, but clean.
Yeah.
You know, like when you watch that old one, because it was 420, it's like film. It's a little bit choppy, and it was, you know, cheap.
Gritty.
This one, they are able to do a little bit more violence than they were in the other one. They use powers way better.
Oh, okay.
Like in the very first episode, Cyclops is not a little puss.
Like he is in the original. Yeah,
like,
you know, he
just like kind of shot lasers and it was like, ow, that hurt.
But
this, it's like his fucking powers are awesome.
Oh, okay.
And he's even able to use it. Like, he'll shoot the ground so he could evade something. Like, his blast will move him backwards.
I seem to remember him doing that before.
I mean,
maybe not as much.
Yeah, well, not in the show.
Okay.
You know, and definitely not in the movies.
Yeah.
But it's really dope. And like it, you know, it still does. You know, I was worried that it was going to be, you know, this huge overarching story where you have to watch every episode. But like, you know, even in the old comic or the old show, there was that, you know, to be continued, and you know, Dragon Ball Z-esque thing.
Yeah. Right.
But,
right.
But they were like still single episodes. Like, it wasn't like every villain you see is the whole season,
right?
Like, they still have the like the one-offs that continue the storyline throughout. Gotcha. As well.
Okay.
So I've been really enjoying it. I think there's only like 4 out right now, but
okay. Well, I mean, you know, I wasn't that into it when it was even out. I would just watch it whenever it was on, you know.
Yeah.
Wasn't like I was like keeping up with the story. You were, like,
all boners for the X-Men to come to the MCU.
Well, I mean, in the movies, you know, if they're going to keep doing it, that's the only way they're going to save it is by doing the X-Men.
Well, but they're Fantastic Four is coming first.
Well, guess who's going to go see that? 4 people. That's fucking why they call it Fantastic Four, because that's all that's going to go see it, because no one gives a shit.
I mean, I'm sure it's still going to make $200 million, $400 million. Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
but not all of them do.
Yeah, right.
So, but yeah.
But anyway, we'll see.
This is. I mean, I enjoy this movie. Okay. I did. You know, suspension of disbelief. I had to pull a Bryce on this one.
Yeah.
When he cuts her fucking hair, dye her hair, and he cuts her fucking hair, and it is the worst haircut ever.
Yeah, yeah.
And then like, it cuts to her like walking out of the bathroom, and it's this beautiful, like, gorgeous pixie cut. Like, she went to Vidal Sassoon himself.
Yeah.
And you're just like, no.
Hey, dude.
And then also, they start to fuck immediately. And I'm like,
yeah.
I don't, like, I get it, two hot people, whatever, but like, there's shit going on.
Yeah.
Like, maybe it would be better if y'all just had the extra hour of sleep or the extra 5 minutes.
No, like, dude, it turns them on. You know, it turns them both on, you know?
Ridiculous.
It's their kink. As a matter of fact, I think that in the third one, whenever they reveal that the whole time it's just been a fantasy that she wanted to play out. And
it did give me like,
he's not even a part of the fucking CIA or whatever.
It gave me major True Lies vibes. I got a little dick, it's pathetic.
Bill Paxton
was pretending he was that spy to like get her to cheat on her husband with him.
Yeah, that's right.
Like, it was that's this.
Yeah,
that's what he was doing. He was Jason Bourne.
It could have easily been.
Yeah.
Could have easily been. but yeah, that is funny. But also, I will say, let me pull a Chase. You could argue that the hair cutting thing is a technique that he would have learned.
I know. That's exactly what I told my wife, too.
Because he would have to disguise himself, too.
Yeah. I was like, I mean, it's not out of the realm that he wouldn't have to know how to do that.
Yeah.
But they show him cutting it, and it's awful.
Yeah.
And then they have sex, and then her hair is gray.
Yeah.
So he, like, fucked her hair.
You can't do that? You can't do that either?
I cannot fuck someone's hair perfect.
Oh, that's is the easiest one. Look, we'll talk later. I'll teach you how to do it, okay?
Yeah. So, did you recognize Franca Potenti?
No, who was that?
That's Marie.
Oh, yeah. The girl? No, but no.
Where should no.
Yeah. Where so should I
She's been in some of the Conjuring movies. I think Conjuring 2. She was in Blow. Blow would have been the one that you would recognize her from.
Oh, yeah.
But she's also, like, her big launch was that movie Run, Lola, Run.
I remember that
movie.
Like,
98. Yeah.
I remember that shit.
That was one that, like, I remember hearing all about it. It's like, it's fucking great.
Yeah.
And then I finally watched it, like, 4 or 5 years ago for a film class. And I was like, oh, wow, this sucks.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's like...
That's terrible.
It's so, like... Look at this 90s independent fucking crazy movie.
Yeah, is it French?
It's one of those three, yeah, and it's like three, it's the same story, three different
outcomes. Three different perspectives or whatever.
Not even three different, it's like, if this happened instead of this, or whatever, it's kind of dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
Yeah, I didn't.
I don't like those either. Choose your own adventure type shit or whatever. Yeah,
and it's all done, it's all shot as though it's like the intro to the real world.
Oh no!
Yeah, it's like real weird.
I don't want any of that.
It is a definite artifact.
That. No, I don't want that.
That's why I believe it's on our list, and I'm like, we're not going to do
is
that
it?
One.
Yeah. No fucking way, dude. Well, whatever. I mean, it is the movie gap, so
you gotta fill those gaps.
But yeah, that's all I got for it.
All right, so let's get that rating.
Segments here. All right, Ryan, my rating, which I have written down. Out of 10 memories. You like that? Well, I gave it 6 memories, and then I wrote, it puts the meh in memories. So,
classic
joke. Give me one of these, but also. That makes it seem like I'm more mad at it than I am.
Yeah.
I think I just couldn't pass up the joke.
Yeah.
So I'm actually not that mad at it.
So, like, if, you know, if we were going to do a reboot recast on this, here's the thing.
Okay.
This would
definitely... Are we getting into that?
Yeah, let's go ahead.
Reboot.
Okay.
Recast.
I mean, I don't really have anything because it's kind of like...
Yeah, what are we going to
do? You know, like, they're not going to do it.
Jeremy
Renner.
But
if they did do it, if they did do a reboot recast of this,
yeah,
it would be made for Amazon, so nobody would see it.
Yeah.
You know, it would be a
Roadhouse episode,
yeah, but like, I sought that out.
Right. Okay.
Well, actually, my wife did. I was not going to see it, and then she was like, "We have to watch this when it comes out." And I was like, "All right."
Yeah.
And then I was like, "Well, if I just don't bring it up when it comes out, we'll watch it." And then we didn't have anything to watch. It was like, I mean, that Roadhouse did come out.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
We
yeah.
watched it. I was like, this is kind of like fucking fun.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Gotcha. I mean,
the original one is so much better.
Gotcha.
It's so much funnier. Like. Intentionally and unintentionally, this one is funny intentionally.
Yeah.
But not like it's a comedy, but like there's good lines in it. Very, you know, like Die Hard.
Uh-huh.
Like there's like, you know, good little one-liner kind of things.
Okay.
But anyway, this would definitely be like drawn out into a 10 episode series. It would be a little too serious, and then like they would probably try to like update it, and then you start to update it and you're like, okay, this is too much. So like having it set when it's set is kind of, I think, perfect. So it's like, what are the, I don't know why you would remake it.
Okay.
I don't know where the money would come from that you're going to get for it. So like, why do it?
Sure. You know? But let's just say,
but if they did,
they're going to remake the movie as a fucking movie for Amazon, whatever, or Netflix or whatever. Who do you got?
Well, let's see here. Who would be a good Bourne? You got to start with the Bourne, right?
Zac Efron.
Zac Efron's good. The problem is he's people so big now.
Like, people don't like his jaw.
Yeah, he's so swole.
Yeah,
and like he got huge for that wrestling
movie. Yeah,
but he's always been real big.
Well, he could slim down for it.
He probably could. I don't know. I think that he's got more pathos to him than this requires.
Okay.
But yeah, I think he could do it.
I don't know what that word means.
And he's probably at the right level to do something like this. So yeah, I like that.
I'm saying, you know, it's not bad, but there could be, okay, let's see. There's other
options. If his jaw doesn't
It's freaking people out, you know?
Yeah, he got,
he got the plastic surgery because he broke his jaw?
Yeah.
Damn, that sucks, man.
And then it got, like, infected and...
Yeah, damn, that's crazy.
Okay.
So there, but like it is
right
an option.
At the right age, because I think Damon was like 30 when this came
out. You're not going to like this one, but it is another suggestion here that I think could work. You are not going to like it though. But Ryan Gosling,
I think.
Don't you give me this too old shit?
No. I think he's not. His face isn't right for it. Right, like you have to have that sort of like. Like, not that, I mean, Matt Damon is very, very handsome, but he's also like a normal guy in a way.
Sure, yeah.
You know,
yeah,
like
yeah.
Ryan Gosling looks like Ryan Gosling.
Sure.
You know, same thing with like even a Chris Hemsworth or, you know, any of those guys where they're just like a little too superstar handsome.
Sure.
You know, I mean, if you saw Matt Damon on the street, you'd probably be like, fuck, he really is a lot more handsome than I thought.
Sure.
You know, but.
But he would also fit in.
But yeah, he could fit in. You know, so
what about Oscar Isaacs?
Maybe. I'm not really that worried about the age, other than when you cast the Marie part.
Oh wait, how old is Oscar Isaacs?
I think he's like probably almost 50.
Oh geez.
Oscar Isaac.
See, because I'm thinking, what if we go like brown?
He's 45.
Hair.
He's 45. So like at that point. You know, if you're a contract killer, you're probably dead.
Yeah.
You know,
unless,
I mean, this program,
unless you're the best like, ever.
That's the whole thing, is that the program hasn't been around that long.
Well, you know who would work, but he's already doing something else along similar lines, and that'd be Krasinski.
Yeah, I mean, he's already
he's
doing
being
the
Jack
Ryan.
Reacher shit.
Yeah. Jack Ryan.
Jack Ryan, whatever. Yeah. So, yeah, I guess he's out. Then I'm just going to have to go with Barry Keoghan. Because he's the best actor out there right now, and the best working actor. And
he actually is like secretly ripped, though. He's one of those.
Yeah, right, yeah. Right.
I don't know. I think maybe the best one out of that, I think, is Efron.
Efron's there. It could be.
I'm trying to think of like a someone that like got pushed out by,
see, this
by
is right
Tom
at the,
Holland or something.
Yeah, this is right at the age range where it's like, I don't know enough people to give good consideration that are in this age range right now, you know? Maybe...
Well, and you don't want him to be like a Chalamet or somebody that's like, okay, that's
no,
like a
no,
little guy.
No. What about like a Sterling K. Brown?
Well, he's definitely older than... He's like 50.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Oh shit. What about
See, I mean, that guy sounds not bad. You know, you got Gyllenhaal's a little old for it. But Gyllenhaal probably would have been able to. Ooh, Sebastian Stan maybe.
Too
he's right on the cusp.
He's in the 50s. He's in his 40s. 45.
Channing Tatum is not right.
No. John Cena.
Oh, Evan Peters.
Wait, who's Evan Peters?
He was in all the American Horror Story stuff.
Okay.
I just don't know that he's kind of got a soft face. It's like he played Jeffrey Dahmer in that Jeffrey Dahmer show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, but you know what? Yeah, that kind of he's kind of got the look there.
Yeah.
All right, well, I'm just going to stick with Efron. Fuck it.
Yeah, let's stick with Efron.
Yeah.
And then,
Marie Sydney Sweeney. Boom. Done.
Or...
If we're trying to make as much money as possible...
I'm gonna let you have it.
What? Julia Garner.
Julia Garner, let's
but
do
she's
it.
She's too old for that.
No, she's not.
Now you're making me pull a Chase.
She's not too old. She's like 28.
Julia Garner, she's... Oh, I thought she was like 30.
Well, even then, if he's 35...
1,000 years old.
I mean, the girl could be older.
No, yeah, it does work though. But then again, you
now,
know,
can she do?
She gotta
she
be
do,
French.
Can she do French? I mean, she can do French.
She can do French.
She can do anything.
Yeah.
She can do anything that I allow her to. Yeah. She's only 30. She's only 30.
All right. Well, then, yeah, that works.
Yeah, there you go. So you got it.
All right.
And then, great. All right, let's go into the numbers. So,
okay.
This movie came out June 14th of 2002. Estimated budget of $60 million. So what was the opening weekend?
I'm gonna say, I'm gonna guess that it did like 21 million.
He chose
okay.
Poor.
No.
27. 27.
Get out of here.
You were over 5. Over 5 million off.
That's close enough.
No. All right. Fine. So, what do you think the domestic gross was?
You said 27 million opening weekend?
Yeah.
The budget was what? 60?
60.
I think it made that, at least. I'm going to say it made like 88 million.
He chose...
Oh.
121.
Oh, damn. Really?
621,000.
Damn, I didn't realize it was that much of a hit.
Yeah. I mean, they made two more, you know?
So, yeah, that's a good point. Yeah,
and then point. Worldwide. Worldwide.
I'm going to say that this, let's see, I think it did pretty well worldwide. I'm going to say 300 million.
He chose
214 million. I like that. All you're right. Like, I like that you're like, well, I made 80 million domestic. You're like, but 300.
Well, no, so I had learned like how much it actually made.
No, but it by did then. Make, it made more worldwide than what you had guessed for its domestic. So,
okay.
All right. So, let's see here. That weekend, it did not hit number one.
Okay.
It was topped with 54 million, almost, you know, well, I guess only 20,000 more, give or take. By
20 million.
Yeah, 20 million. By a cartoon turned live action film.
2002?
2002.
Shrek.
No, a cartoon turned live action.
Shrek is live action.
It is
okay,
not.
Thank you very much.
It is not.
Those people
it
are
is a cartoon.
Real.
No.
All right, just kidding.
This is Warner Brothers.
Cartoon turn, oh, Batman.
No.
Oh, cartoon turn live action.
A, well, I guess it could have been a
57 million, 2002, huh?
Yeah.
Do I know it?
Yeah, but I don't think you've seen it. It's got, I think it had one, maybe two, like, straight up sequels to this one. But
so this is the first?
This is definitely a cartoon that you've heard of, that you used to watch, I'm sure. Hanna-Barbera.
Scooby-Doo.
It is Scooby-Doo.
And of course.
Yeah. Was that Hanna-Barbera?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So then Bourne Identity came in at two. Number three is a Nicolas Cage war film, but he is not the main character. And it's not Captain Corelli's mandolin.
Something about Black Hawk Down or something like that.
No, not Black Hawk Down.
Hey, don't say the movie. Don't say the name of that movie too fast now, okay?
Black Hawk Down?
Yeah, you'll get in trouble there, buddy.
What's the porn title on that one?
Black Hawk Down. Yeah, anyway. Then what is it?
Wind Talkers.
I would have never got that shit. Wind Talkers. Ever.
All right. Number four is an action movie. It is a Jack Ryan starring...
Tom Cruise.
No, starring Matt Damon's little best friend.
Oh, Jimmy Kimmel? No, just kidding. Ben Affleck?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know then.
The
Jack
sum,
Ryan?
The Sum of All Fears.
Oh, okay.
It's one of the Jack Ryans. I think it's
I
the
see.
Only one he did.
Okay.
Maybe Changing Lanes was also one.
Yeah.
No, that was just one he
you think,
did.
You think that he Matt Damon was like, hey, Ben.
Well,
you're doing Jack Ryan? Yeah, I got me Jason Bourne. How you like them apples?
Now,
you think he said that to him?
Jack Ryan was already an established character, and it's already made 84 million. It's in its fourth or third week, so or fourth week.
So he's telling, hey, yeah. Congrats on that that Jack Ryan shit. But guess what? I just got Jason Bourne. How you like them apples? That's what he said to him.
Yeah.
All right. So anyway.
You're gone, girl.
All look, right, those two are attached
number
at the hip.
Five is the big movie of the summer. I know you saw this one in theaters.
Star Wars.
Episode
2.
Yeah, Attack of the Clones.
Oh.
I don't like sand. It's coarse.
That's where this is from.
Yeah.
Rough and irritating. Not like
that
everywhere.
That's it.
Here everything is soft.
Smooth.
And smooth.
All right.
So then you got, wrapping out the top 10, Divine Secrets of the Ya-Ya Sisterhood.
I remember that movie.
Spider-Man still bringing in $7 million to top it off.
OG Spider-Man?
Yeah.
Okay.
In seventh week with $382 million.
Wow, that was a big hit.
Yeah, big-tittied hit, as they say.
Big-tittied hit.
Bad Company. I don't know that
That's one. A band.
Yeah, no, that's a Walt Disney thing, which probably meant Buena Vista at the time.
Oh, okay.
Then there's Spirit, Stallion of the Cimarron. My favorite movie, because you could take any of those nouns and put them in any order, and it still makes sense.
Sounds, yeah.
Stallion, Cimarron of the Spirit.
Yeah.
Spirit, Stallion of the Cimarron. Cimarron, Spirit of the Stallion.
Stallion,
Cimarron of the
Spirit.
Spirit of the Cimarron.
Spirit of the Cimarron, yeah.
Like, they all just make sense.
Yeah, that's great. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
And then number 10, a movie that I feel like you love.
What the fuck is that supposed to be?
It's just like one that, like, of any movie that Bryce saw, he'd probably be like, no, that movie fucking rules.
Okay. It's a comic book movie?
It's a comedy.
Oh, a comedy.
It's a comedy.
2002?
Yes.
Awesome Powers.
No, it stars, is it Eddie Griffith?
Oh, dude, I know what it is. Yeah. Fuck, what is the name of that fucking movie? I did go see it in theaters with my dad, and we laughed
Eddie
our asses
Griffith,
off.
Or Denise Richards.
Yes, dude.
Chris Kattan.
Undercover Brother.
That's it.
Dude, yes.
I knew
we that did love that
one.
Movie.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, we laughed our balls off at that.
Yeah, so a big week there. But
Dave Chappelle's part was really funny in that movie, if I recall
Dave
correctly.
Chappelle's in it, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, and coming in at number 11 is
Haley Joel Osment now nom in space.
Thanks for listening to The Movie Gap on the Cross the Streams Media Network.